Full fit it was, in fact, and it's great to catch up with David as it is every time we get him on. How are you, David?
Yeah, good, Michael. Thank you.
This time of year is obviously where we're building up in racing, but we've got a special event which is kicking off, and that's the Olympics. And a lot of our listeners may not know it, but you came very close to competing in a couple of Olympics, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, actually. I was we went to Europe in 95 to qualify for Atlanta, and that all worked out pretty well, except not all the horses went as well as expected, and we didn't make the qualification. And then I was in the final hit out, the final half dozen for Sydney in Sydney 2000. So yeah, I had a lot of experience at that sport and at that level. It was good, very good time.
And you captained the Australian equestrian team for a while as well.
Yeah, I did for a while. Yeah, and we won a big. I was in the first Nations Cup winning team. We won a Nations Cup in Helsinki, which was great. Was a high class event, and everyone went really well.
It's amazing when you look at the team this year and the build up. Can you believe Andrew Hoy, who you probably competed with and against, is going to his 8th Olympics?
Oh, look, Andrew grew up pretty close to where I grew up. He was up in the Riverina, and I know him well, and he's just done a great job, and he's just kept on improving. His attention to detail, fantastic, and I believe that he's mounted on the best horse he's ever had.
Really?
So his chances are massive. He is probably going into this game with a better horse than he's had for his entire history.
That's phenomenal. So you obviously still follow it closely?
Yeah, I do follow it a bit. Yeah, a little bit. There's always a bit of a feed comes through, you know, on the social media about, you know, different people and all the rest of it. And you know, a bloke I know from England. He's got a son training now, Nick Skelton. So yeah, there's a few people morphed into racing, and no, I keep an eye on what's going on.
And there's been a lot of talk about Jamie Carr and her background in equestrian and eventing, and how that has probably helped her develop her skills as a jockey. Do you believe that as well for trainers and jockeys that have that background?
She's a terrific rider in any discipline. And you know, I've seen her schooling over some pretty big fences. She rides a few winners on a Saturday, and then you see her, she comes down, she goes to an arena just near my place, and my daughter's pretty keen at still, she's doing quite a bit of equestrian, and they get down there and they jump some really big fences, and yeah, she's a really good technician.
Is it good for the horses as well? I know I've spoken to Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr., and they've put the likes of Profiteer and horses through some equestrian pre-training. Do you do that with some of your horses as well?
Yeah, look, probably. Horses training on a track, they train a lot of times. They just get a little bit locked into one system, and it just muscles them up a little more evenly, and they become a bit more supple, and you mouth them up a little better, and their balance and their collection improves. Yeah, it's a really good training too.
All right. Well, we're all on Andrew Hoy to win gold now.
I really hope so. What a big achievement if he does, but I know he's well positioned. You know, if you're on the right stock, it takes you a long way.
Just on that, it's a I suppose a little transition from what we've been talking about, trying to rehome horses, and following on from what Michael Kent had to say yesterday about the breeds. What are your thoughts on that, and how easy or difficult it is to try and transition thoroughbreds into maybe an afterlife of eventing and show jumping?
In my era, we produced some really good thoroughbreds off the track to the absolute elite level in show jumping, and we took those horses to Europe and to the States, and they competed with, you know, the best in the world. But there was a bit of a time where we on sold a few thoroughbreds to the European riders And the Europeans couldn't really, not much of it worked out for them buying thoroughbreds because they weren't used to riding thoroughbreds. So really, the whole market has changed now because the sport horse is bred through AI and embryo transfer and the whole deal. And so the Germans are producing them. Germans and the Dutch are probably the two biggest breeders. They're producing them like peas in a pod, and they are of high quality. And that is the majority of equestrian horses are purpose-bred horses. The thoroughbred horse now has lost traction at the highest level. Maybe 25 years ago, yes, he was at the highest level. Now he's not quite at the highest level. A few of them do still filter through the eventing ranks because they need good stamina, and the purpose-bred sport horses haven't got the level of stamina. So the thoroughbreds are a little bit out on a rock, and then the places he ends up are pleasure riding people, and not all thoroughbred horses have got the suitable temperament, but the ones that have got the suitable temperament for pleasure riding, they certainly do a job, and you know they can be a useful horse for many, many years for people. But once a horse has had racing experience, you know, it takes quite a lot of retraining. And the people that are buying those sort of horses often aren't the experienced people, and so sometimes you just gotta be very careful where they're rehomed. It's a bit of an issue, but the way that they're retraining them, it's really helping. It's helping the image, and a lot of horses are finding fantastic homes.
And what did you make of Mick Kent Senior's comments about the breed of horses and too many horses maybe being bred which have genetic issues?
Look, I didn't hear what he said, but what's he saying, that they're not sound or they've got...
He said that we need to refine our breeding practices, and that we are breeding, A, too many horses, but too many horses that have issues from roarers to ailments and so forth, and maybe go down the German path where we have a more pure breed of horses that produces less horses with ailments.
Well, it's interesting. On the wind issue, on the fact that a lot of stallions go to stud with wind impediments, it is a highly genetic problem, and it has transferred through, and it's very difficult for owners when you buy a yearling and it scopes properly as a yearling, and then there's a problem later on. It costs the industry a lot of money. The breeding foundation in Germany back in the late 80s decided they weren't going to breed with any stallions that were producing throat problems, and they actually deregistered a lot of these sport horse stallions. They deregistered a horse called Paradox, who had produced, I think, 6 gold medal winning games horses, and because his progeny usually went and had a wind op before they even were broken in, so they were aggressive, and now you won't find a wind problem in those horses that are in the Hanoverian breeding society. So you know they have to, it's a hard business because you know a lot of horses, race horses, you know they might be by Aurora. Out of Aurora, and they might work out, you know. So it's a pretty hard and fast rule. But the Germans definitely took that track with their sport horse a long time ago, and they've rid the problem out of their breed. Which, you know, I don't know whether the administration would ever take on something like that.
Yeah, it's a fascinating discussion. Certainly a lot of different issues there. How about we find a winner? What about Red Can Man? You were wrapped with his performance in the Sir John Monash, back a couple of weeks in the Bletchingly. Has he continued to improve?
Yeah, I think third run in, he's done well since the run. His gallop on Tuesday was very good. I think he's drawn a great gate. I think the horse will go really well. I'm not sure how the track will end up, and I guess no one will know till Saturday morning. But I was hoping it's not going to be too wet, but probably on his path anyway, we'll run. But I'm very pleased with him, and I think he can go very well.
Well, it's currently in the heavy range. We know Caulfield drains really well, but if it gets into the soft, we're not going to get to a good range, that's for sure, which is what we got last start. How do you think he would handle the soft range?
Oh, I reckon if it's a 6 foot, I'd be happy enough running him at that.
Yep.
You know, it does recover incredibly quick, but I'm not sure what's due in the next few days. What's due on Friday? I hope there's not too much Friday.
Drawn a good gate, 1,200 metres. Is he going to start to get out in distance after the bletching, Lou?
Probably 1,400 after this, but we'll just see how this week works out. But yeah, 1,400. And so, yeah, that'll be fourth run in. He'll be ready for that. He's done well over 1,400 before, so fitness is good, soundness is good. So I'm really pleased with him.
All right. No rain today or tomorrow. A little bit expected on Saturday. So, but you don't trust the weather gods.
Sounds promising though, Michael. That's much better than rain today and rain tomorrow.
Oh, exactly. Bob's Relish. Are you just having a throw at the stumps in the ninth?
Yeah, Bob's Relish is actually it's done a really good job. It's won a couple of races and it put some track work in on Tuesday morning that we were really pleased with. And it's a really decent, strong horse. So we are happy to run it in this three-year-old Vobis race and just see where it ends up.
Best of luck on Saturday and enjoy watching the Olympics. And we'll all jump on Andrew Hoy.
Yeah, I hope so. It'll be a great win for him.
Absolutely. Good on you, David.
Thank you, Mike.